Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
I never thought it would lead us into the bathroom. Worse, it was a public bathroom. So there were several critical moments where there were other people with us. They were watching me. They were listening to me, but I could not stop. There was way too much at stake. The burger had to be eaten. I think I need to turn back the clock a half hour. So it was 2008. My family went to a restaurant we had never been to before. My son opened his menu and saw it, the challenge. If children under 12 years old ate an entire half pound burger, they would get their picture on this gluttony wall of fame. My son looked at me and he said, "Dad, I think I can do it." His mother shook her head and said, "No, you're not." I smiled and said, "Son, today is the day you achieve glory." I explained to him that he did not have to do it, but if he started, he had to finish. I said, "If you commit, you cannot quit." He nodded nervously. I told him, I love you so much. I will do whatever I have to do to help you reach the promised land of burger nirvana. I described to him how in an old movie, Paul Newman as Cool Hand Luke made a bet that he could eat 50 hard-boiled eggs and his friends massaged the eggs down his stomach. I said, "I love you so much. I will massage the burger down your stomach. But if you commit, you can't quit." He said, "Okay." And so the burger arrived and he took his first bite with a big growl of determination. His next bites were followed by comments of how easy this was and why don't they make the challenge tougher. But right about halfway through the burger, he announced, "That's it, I'm done." His mother said, "I told you not to do it." His little sister said, "Why are you also eating a milkshake?" I said, "Meet me in the bathroom now." And we went to the bathroom. In the bathroom, Dawson started giving little wimpy 9-year-old excuses. "I'm too full. I had a big lunch. Why didn't you tell me not to eat a milkshake?" I wasn't having it. I said, "Remember hamburger glory. Remember the promised land. Remember, if you commit, you don't quit." He wasn't having it. He said, "Sorry, Dad, I'm done." I think this was the first time in his life when he realized the issue with having a father who is a pastor, because I started preaching a sermon to him in the restroom. I said, "Dawson, I remember the first time I ever quit something, and to this day, I wonder what would have happened if I didn't quit. Do you really want to live with regret for the rest of your life?" Dawson rolled his eyes and said, "It's just a hamburger, Dad." I decided to give him Bible quotes. That's what I'm like a professional at. I said, "Dawson, do you want to know what it says in the Bible about this?" He said, "No, Dad." I said, "Dawson, it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." He said, "Dad, I'm not doing good. I'm doing a burger challenge." I said, "Dawson, do you want to know what else the Bible says?" He said, "No, Dad." I said, "It says in James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." He said, "Dad, I'm not under trial. It's a burger challenge." I said, "No, Dawson, this is not a burger challenge. This is about perseverance." I made up quotes. I said, "Dawson, have you ever heard perseverance is the path to greatness?" He said, "No, Dad, who said that?" I said, "Well, I did just now. That's a brand new quote. You know, Dawson, new is always better. That's a new quote." He said, "Whatever, Dad." I told him inspiring stories. I said, "Dawson, have you ever heard of Nelson Mandela?" Because Nelson Mandela faced seemingly insurmountable odds when he was imprisoned just because of the color of his skin, but he got out of prison and became president of the country. Doesn't that inspire you to get out of burger prison and finish this challenge? I guess maybe a little, Dad. I said, Dawson, what about Martin Luther King? He stared into the hateful eyes of racism and oppression, and he never gave up. He endured. Dawson, can you stare into the eyes of that beefy burger and tell it that you will not go quietly into that dark night? What are you even talking about, Dad? I said, Dawson, I am talking about free at last. Free at last. Eat that burger and you will be free at last. Doesn't that inspire you? And he went, I guess, Dad, you're probably right. I can probably finish the burger. Yeah, I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. I'll do it. And he ran out of the bathroom and he finished the burger challenge. And praise Paul Newman, I did not even have to massage his stomach as he did it. So, was my son right that it was just a burger challenge? What was I being stupid? Why did I make such a big deal of it? Because it was. It may have been a burger challenge, but the difference between someone who gives up and someone who perseveres is everything. Everything. And as that wise sage said, okay, it was me, perseverance really is the path to greatness. And I want my son on that path. I want to be on that path. I want you on that path. Listen, what separates average people from amazing people is not their talent. It's not their intelligence. It's not who they know or what they know. It is perseverance. There's a lady named Angela Duckworth. She is smart. She's very smart. She went to Harvard and Oxford, and she has spent years studying why do successful people succeed? Why? She looked at people who survived and thrived in West Point Military Academy, at poor kids who are succeeding in rough inner city schools, and at rich kids who are succeeding in Ivy League colleges. She looked at entrepreneurs who have won in business, and she looked at the kids in the National Spelling Bee, on the Scripps National Spelling Bee you see on TV, who win spelling words like entrepreneurs. And she asked, why do the successful people succeed? She gave them all kinds of intelligence tests and different things to try to figure out, is it IQ? What is it? And the answer is, and she wrote a book about it, grit. The answer is grit. Grit is a strength of character that refuses to quit. It's perseverance. Angela Duckworth writes, enthusiasm is common, endurance is rare. Enthusiasm is common. Lots of people get excited about things and set goals and want to accomplish things, but endurance, people who are willing to not give up, who will go through whatever they have to go through, that is rare. She says, successful people, whatever they're successful at, almost across the board, what they do is they set a goal, and they are willing to give up on lesser goals to achieve that one goal. And the way they look at their lives is every morning they wake up, point their life at that goal, and take another step in the right direction. She said, successful people, people who become successful, they are filled with hope. But their hope is not based on someday my circumstances are going to change, or on I feel like I'm talented enough and smart enough to do this. Their hope is based on the fact that they know if I get knocked down today, tomorrow, I can get back up and I can take another step in the right direction. Perseverance is the path to success. People succeed because of great grit. And man, this is really good news. Like, we should all be going like, oh, this is awesome to learn, right? It means it's okay if you're not that talented. It's not a problem if you don't know the right people. It's not the end of the world if you're not that educated. You can live an amazing life. You can achieve your goals if you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. if you will not take no for an answer, if you make another call, say another prayer, write another check, attend another class, send another email, memorize another verse, attend another session with your counselor, make it through another day of sobriety, talk again with your teenager, continue to dream that dream if you just don't give up. Because it really is true. What separates average people from amazing people is not their talent or intelligence. It's not what they know or who they know. It's perseverance. It's grit. It's a refusal to give up. If you'd like some proof, man, we see this in every single arena of life. We think people succeed because they're talented and they're gifted and they're smart. That is not the case. So like sports, the most amazing athlete of my lifetime, Michael Jordan. So was it easy for Michael Jordan because of his enormous talent? Well, Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. It wasn't easy for him. He could have given up, most people would have, but he chose to persevere. He chose to persevere. Or what about entertainment? The most successful music group of my lifetime, probably U2. So was it easy for them because they're so enormously talented? Well, U2 actually did so poorly on their first two world tours that when they went to do their third world tour, they couldn't afford it and had no one who was willing to give them a dollar in sponsorship. And so they put the entire world tour on their manager's credit card, but their world tour went so poorly, they couldn't make any of the payments on the card and they lost the card. You two did not become successful, but because of their enormous talent, they didn't give up when most bands would have. They succeeded because they chose to persevere. What about business? Probably the most amazing, successful business leader of my lifetime, Steve Jobs. Was it easy for him because he's so smart and enormously talented? Well, Steve Jobs founded Apple and then got fired from Apple, and he had to work for 12 years to take back the company that he started. It wasn't easy for him. He could have given up, but he chose to persevere. We see this in every arena of life. If you want to live an amazing life, you can, if you decide that you're not gonna give up, that you're gonna persevere. But we see it in every arena of life, and I think the arena of life we see it most vividly in is the kingdom of God. But what separates people who live average lives for God from people who live amazing lives for God is perseverance. There are countless examples. In fact, every example, like all of my spiritual heroes, I'll give you one or two examples. John Wesley. That was born in 1703. He was the 15th of 19 children that his parents had. He grew up extremely poor, which I guess if you have 19 kids, there are consequences for that, right? If you want a little extra spending money, stay out of the bedroom for a couple nights maybe. And so he grew up really rough life. When he was 6 years old, their house caught on fire, burned down. John was in the house, almost died. Just a hard life. Later, John Wesley became a preacher, and he preached about having a relationship with God. Not religion, it's a relationship with God. And so churches threw him out because they were all about religion back in those days. And so he preached out in like fields and in the middle of towns. And as a result of his preaching, he was beat up regularly. He had bricks thrown at him. His horses were poisoned and killed. He was stoned. Not stoned like stone, like. It wasn't easy for him. He could have given up. Almost anyone would have. But he chose to persevere. And he had one of the greatest impacts in our world for God in all of history. One more, William Carey was an ordinary shoemaker in England in the 1700s, and he decided, this shoemaker, that he was going to be a missionary. He moved to India with his family. In the first year there, one of his children died. Then, a little later that year, his wife died. He was left a single dad with two young kids in a foreign land. He kept going. He kept going without any results for years. Not a single person came to faith. Nothing good happened. He could have given up. Anyone would have given up, but he chose to persevere. Today, he is known as the father of modern missions. He's considered the most effective missionary in the history of the world. He started hundreds of churches in India. Thousands and thousands of people came to faith in Jesus because of him. He stopped barbaric practices that were common back then in India, like people choosing to sacrifice their wives and children to their gods. And I could go on and on and on. Every story of someone who lives an amazing life for God, who had an amazing impact for God, is the story of someone who had it so hard and could have given up, but chose to persevere. So what do we learn? If you commit, you don't quit. Perseverance is the path to greatness. And I guess all of this kind of begs the question, why do we give up? Right? Like most of us at some point, we do give up on whatever it is. Why do we give up? No one starts with the idea of like, I'm going to do this. I'll quit somewhere in the middle. But I'm going to, no. Like no one thinks they're going to quit. We do. So why? Why do we miss out on greatness? I suppose there are a lot of reasons. One is that we give ourselves the option of quitting. We give ourselves the option. Like I think half the reason that half the marriages end in divorce is because the couple allowed for the possibility of divorce. Couples who don't consider it an option fight through the difficulties and figure out how to make their marriage work. Couples who consider it an option bail when the difficulties become unbearable. My wife and I, earlier in our marriage, there were times where the best possible choice would have been divorce. It seemed that way. But that wasn't a choice for us. And so we fought through, and man, we've had like a decade now of a marriage that I wish everybody could have a marriage like ours. It's because we fought for it. It's not just marriage. Like for me, I've had diets that I 100% committed to and didn't quit. And I've had diets that seemed like a good idea and I was enthusiastic and they lasted a week. I've started and stopped writing several books. But when I've had a book contract and a due date, I've never even considered giving up because it wasn't an option. We will quit if we give ourselves the option of quitting. But if something is important enough, we need to not give ourselves that option. A second reason we quit is because it's hard. What's hard? It is. If it is something designed to grow us as people or improve an important relationship or increase our impact in the world, it is going to be hard. The path to greatness is never smooth. It's always a difficult journey over rough terrain. And so if we give ourselves the option of quitting, when it gets hard, we will. So let's just be clear, right? Let's all get on the same page. If you decide to do something good with your life, you are going to experience problem after problem that will make you feel like giving up. That is an absolute certainty, okay? If you decide you're gonna lose weight and get in shape, well, guess what? That week, there's going to be two birthdays at work and there's going to be birthday cake in the break room all the time. And you're going to be like, why now? If you decide to improve your marriage by going to marriage counseling, your spouse is going to say, I don't want to go. Or it's going to be more expensive than you thought it would be. If you decide to go next year on our mission trip where we build a homeless house for a homeless family in Mexico, the money you're going to raise isn't going to come in like you thought it would. If you decide to go back to college, it's going to be tougher and more time consuming than you imagined. If you decide, I'm going to start volunteering at church on Sunday mornings because I know that's important. Every weekend, something's going to happen that's going to make it feel like it's impossible for you to get here or to get here on time. If you decide, I'm going to get out of debt and I'm going to live on a budget and be smart about money, your car is going to break down. Okay? And you're going to be like, well, I was going to, but what am I supposed to do now? None of that should take you by surprise. Okay? It happens. It always happens. It is always hard. I can tell you for me, okay, I'll just speak for me. It's unbelievably hard. So the goals I have for my life, I have two big ones. I want to be amazing at two things, having intimacy with God and having influence for God in the world. Those are my two big goals. Well, I have issues with intimacy. So I have had a counselor diagnose me as having attachment disorder. Attachment disorder happens when you go through severe trauma, relational kind of trauma early in childhood. And in a sense, it's kind of like you close off your heart to avoid anyone being able to hurt you. As I understand it, if you do brain scans on a person with attachment disorder, the brain scans will show black holes of inactivity in the brain where there should be activity. People with attachment disorder find it very difficult or just impossible to attach to other people and form intimate relationships. So by the way, if you ever like talk to me out in the lobby or you see me at Smith's or something and you're like, hey, Vince, and then you walk away and go, he's a little awkward. Yeah, I'm a little awkward. Give me a break. Anyway, I've had a counselor say, yeah, you've got attachment disorder. I had another counselor who diagnosed me as having ADD. You're like, we knew that. People with ADD have trouble focusing. Their minds are distracted easily. So can you picture trying to have a time of focused, uninterrupted, intimate prayer with God when you have attachment disorder and ADD? It's hard. So I want intimacy with God. I want influence in the world for Him. God has called me to have influence in the world by being a church pastor for people who don't like church, and for the most part, don't believe in God. That's hard. And I'm an introverted pastor trying to break out of that and connect with people who are cynical about pastors and about God and church and don't really want to connect with me. That's hard. It's hard. It's always hard. Okay, it's hard for me. It will be hard for you. Whatever you want to accomplish in life, it will always be hard. And hard is why we give up. But from now on, man, you're not going to give up. We're going to make a decision that those things that are important to us, we're not going to give up. A third reason that we quit is because we can't see the future. Because we can't see the future. So perseverance is the path to greatness. And the people who persevere are those who look forward to the rewards of greatness. At one time, Jesus was telling people, he was talking to people and he told them that they should count the cost before they set about doing something important with their lives, like, for instance, following him. Look what Jesus said. We're going to put all the Bible verses on the screen for you. Luke chapter 14. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. So Jesus is saying, listen, we need to realize how hard it's going to be on the right path, right? He's talking specifically about following him. That's hard. But just in general, you need to look forward and see there's going to be a cost, right? He was encouraging us to see the future, to see the difficulties before we experience them. The problem is we don't do that, right? It's only when we're in the problems, in the pain, that we start counting the cost and seeing it. But it's when we're in the problem, in the pain, that we need to actually be looking past the pain and seeing the future, the reward that awaits those who endure the hard path. There's a chapter in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, and people call it God's Hall of Fame. It briefly tells stories of God's heroes, of people who persevered, and their perseverance led them to greatness. And Hebrews 11 tells us exactly why they persevered. Look at Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then it says they, these ancients, were looking ahead to the reward. The heroes of faith saw the future. They counted the cost, and they knew it would be hard, but they also knew that it would be worth it. But because they saw the future. See, they didn't just count the cost, they also counted the reward, right? Because they saw the future. They realized perseverance is a faith. It requires a faith that sees the future. It's a willingness to endure the difficulties for the reward that you are certain is coming, even though you can't see it yet. And the reason so many of us have quit things we didn't want to quit at is because we weren't looking at the future. There was an American swimmer named Florence Chadwick. She became famous for being the first woman to ever swim the English Channel both ways. She then set another swimming goal for herself very publicly. On July 4th, 1951, she was going to swim from Catalina to the California coastline. Unfortunately, she did not quite make it. What stopped her? Well, it wasn't the cold water. It wasn't sharks. It wasn't exhaustion from the 16-hour swim. No, what stopped her was fog. Fog rolled in. Chadwick could no longer see the coastline, and she quit. But when she climbed into the boat, she discovered that she was less than 1 mile from her goal. She later said, if the fog hadn't been there and I could have seen land, I would have made it. In fact, 2 months later, she made a second attempt at the same swim. This time it was different. It wasn't that fog didn't roll in. In fact, a thick fog set in that day. What the difference was she said she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind the entire time she swam. And we quit because we can't see the future. But people who persevere are people who look forward to the rewards of greatness. They see what cannot be seen. And we're going to see what cannot be seen. A fourth reason we give up, and the last one I'll mention, is because we don't realize that we are always, every day, we are training ourselves to become quitters, or we are training ourselves to become people who persevere. The reality is, every time you quit at anything, it becomes easier to quit the next time. You're training yourself. But when we fight through difficult circumstances and we endure, we discover our own strength, we learn to rely on our unstoppable God, our self-esteem grows, and it becomes easier to not quit the next time. We are always training ourselves to become quitters or to become people who persevere. And that's why we're doing this series, because what we're going to learn together is how to not give up. That's also why in this series we have two incredible guest speakers coming, because they are two amazing examples of people who did not give up. On November 11th and 12th, 2 weeks from this weekend, we have Charlie Plum, who was a POW in Vietnam. He was in the next cell to John McCain. His story is unbelievable. How he overcame and helped his fellow POWs to overcome the torture they went through, it's amazing. I can't wait, and I hope you'll be here and invite your friends. And then November 25th and 26th, we've got Rudy. Like the Rudy of the movie, Rudy, the epic classic movie. So on Sunday, he can't be here, but we're going to have a video interview with him, but he will be here live Monday night. And so if you want to see him live, come to the Monday night service that week. If you're okay with the video, come on Sunday morning that week. And we're bringing these guys in because we need to be trained to persevere. We're always training ourselves to become quitters or to become people who persevere. And that brings us back to the bathroom, right? So, listen, I didn't care if my son got a picture on the wall of a restaurant for his great achievement in gluttony, right? Like, and honestly, we all know this, he would have been a healthier person if he quit the challenge in the middle instead of eating another quarter pound of burger, right? But he would have taken a step that day onto the path of quitting. And quitting is the path to mediocreness. I don't think that's a real word. I had to use that burger challenge to teach my son that he's better than that. He's better than that, and that he could endure, and that he could see the future, and even start before they came to taste the rewards of victory, which probably was difficult in that moment through all the beefy ground beef taste that he had in his mouth. But I wonder about you. Like where in your life are you currently tempted to give up? Like, it's something you want, but you're tempted to quit. Man, don't do it. Remember the glory. Remember the promised land. Remember, if you commit, you don't quit. Remember what the Bible says. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, they will reap a harvest, those who do not give up. Remember what the Bible says in James chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Remember Nelson Mandela. If he can overcome prison and become president and overcome apartheid, you can do what you need to do. Remember Martin Luther King. He endured, and you can too. And when you do, you will be free at last. Free at last. With God's help, you will be free at last. And we are going to learn together in this series to never give up. If you commit, you don't quit. And then we're going to discover together that perseverance really is the path to greatness. So let's start by praying together. Let's pray. God, I want to pray for these next 4 weeks as we do this series together and learn how to not give up. We're always going to be tempted to give up. It's always hard. The important things are always hard. So God, would you teach us through this series to never give up? God, we're excited for the guest speakers. The stories are unbelievable, and it's going to be inspiring. And I pray we get a lot of our friends, because we all know people who are struggling with an addiction in their marriage, at school, their jobs, whatever it is. And we want to help our friends to not give up. So help us to find people to invite. God, would you help us to know and remember that perseverance is the path to greatness. And every choice we make, we're training ourselves. God, you are too important. Our families are too important. The goals we have for our life are too important to quit. So give us grit, God. If we commit, we don't quit. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.